minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And my name is Junaid Jassat. My co-host this morning, Maulana Ibrahim Daya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we have our special guest for Thursday mornings on the line with us this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Maulana Jassat and Maulana Daya, so good to hear you guys.
Alhamdulillah. Idris, is it raining in wherever you are today?
No, I'm in Johannesburg and there's a lot of rain, alhamdulillah. And it took me 2 hours to go through traffic is crazy here. I don't know how people stay here, alhamdulillah. May Allah give people sabr, make it easy for them, inshallah.
Ameen. Yes, Johannesburg must be really busy today, and especially with the rain and the slippery roads and people using more their cars instead of taking public transport because of the rain. Roads must be really, really congested there, and you set out to do something and it takes you much longer than what you actually allocated for that. But nevertheless, alhamdulillah, what are you doing in Joburg this week?
No, I've come, alhamdulillah, primary reason I'm invited by, you know, Qari Musa Sidat. They've got some program on Saturday, inshallah. I will be giving the pre-khutbah talk there, on that's of course on Friday. So I just come for that, and I had one or other two things to attend to, you know. Alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Idris bhai, today we're looking at dealing with conflict, and we are looking at how to handle different types of conflicts, disagreements in our lives. And obviously this is a broad topic with many, many what we could call subtopics or aspects, areas in our life that this could deal, address, in fact.
No, absolutely. Therefore, I didn't say only dealing with conflict in the family, is dealing with conflict, as you rightly indicated, in all aspects of our life. And one of the things that I've observed really is this, that sometimes without a person knowing a particular situation of another person, and he would make up his mind that he is in complete disagreement with that person and would not even engage the person on a face-to-face to find out exactly, you know, the context. I mean, the whole issue, and this is what saddens me, that we really become adversarial. We regard the person that we're going through a conflict with, a disagreement with, as our enemy. And that's not the way, you know. That's not the way of Islam. That's not the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's very important to engage.
Okay, I don't know whether Idris Khamisa has been has fallen off. Maulana Ibrahim, can you hear him on that side?
I think we seem to have lost the line, but inshallah, Tufail is trying to get him back, Maulana.
Okay, so we're looking at conflict today, and that is the topic of our discussion. We know that in our daily lives we face conflict in almost every situation, whether it is external conflict or internal conflict, we are facing conflict. Conflict basically means that we need to make a decision this way or that way. We need to go in a certain direction, and we have differing ideas on which direction we need to go. You have internal conflict when you wake up in the morning. Should I wear blue or black? Should I have cereal or coffee? Should I wear the brown shoe or the red shoe? Should I take this road or that road? Should I call or not call? You know, there's so many different things that you have conflict. There's internal conflict that you face. And then you have your external conflicts that you face as well, with different individuals in your life, with your spouse, with your friends, with your kids, with your work colleagues, with your partners at business, whatever else it may be. So there's many different types of conflict that we face. And conflict does not necessarily mean that any of the parties are wrong, any of the parties are bad people, but it just means that we, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us different, and so the objective and idea is learning to deal with that conflict and not making it a means of destroying our relationships, not making it a means, or not allowing that conflict to become a means of division between ourselves. And so let's just check, do we have Idris Bhai on the line again, Maulana?
Yeah, line, alhamdulillah. You know, Maulana, I'll just give you a simple example. You know, when you are dealing, let us say, and we have a tendency of listening to only one side of the conversation, only one side of the conversation. And I realized this, you know, counseling, that if you only were to speak to the wife and get her side of the story, and I'm not saying she's lying, she's giving her interpretation, her perspective, you would think that, well, you know what, she is so angelic and the husband is so diabolical. But if you were to speak to the husband, you know, sometimes you say, hey, my gosh, she's far more diabolical than him, you know what I'm saying to you? So it's very, very important, you know, very, very important to understand that. And in the end, you see, as Hazrat Ali reminded us, it's better to win the friend than the argument. It's to win the hearts of people. It's not about scoring points, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, Idris Bhai, when we are speaking about conflict, like we said, it's not, as you mentioned, you didn't just say family conflict, but there's many different types of conflict. Can we just maybe first just give a basic definition to our listeners of what conflict is all about?
Yeah, a conflict is basically when two parties or more parties have a disagreement on a particular area, and when that disagreement gets out of control, if it were to escalate, then it leads to a conflict. So that's basically it. It's basically when there is not in agreement, they're not converging, they're divergent on a particular point. This is a disagreement, and disagreements are natural, you know, but you don't have to be disagreeable. But if this disagreement escalates and is out of control, then this can lead to conflict, it could lead to aggression, it could lead to hostility, it could lead to breaking off of relationships.
Yes, at this time we speak about conflict, and as Maharaj mentioned, there are many types of it. One is a family conflict, then you have a conflict in the workplaces, sometimes with siblings as well, they have conflicts amongst themselves. So we've looked at it, and we said in the beginning of the program that sometimes you don't give the other person a chance, but as well it's about being open-minded and understanding from a different person's perspective. Sometimes we feel that we are the right one and it should be my way or the highway.
Absolutely, you make a very valid point, because one thing I would recommend to people, even though you are armed with information, you are armed with information that someone has made some very disparaging comments about you. You got what you think as evidence, irrefutable evidence. Now, instead of you going to the person and sticking off and saying to him, yeah, I know what you said, you know, you're a hypocrite. Yes, you can do it another way. He said, you know what, I heard that you had a conversation with so-and-so person. Is it true that you said some things about me? You know? And the person, yes, I did. He said, what did you say about me? You know, what a difference it is. And suddenly you realize that the person who communicated that information to you was either misinterpreted it, misunderstood it, or exaggerated it. And it's so important, you know. We want to have a knee-jerk reaction to everything, you know. And in life, the reality of life is, not everyone will love you. There are those honest people who will come to you face to face and tell you, you know, Brother Idris, I did not like what you said. But there are others who would whisper, you know, go on a whispering campaign, and they will tarnish your reputation. And I'm telling people, it's okay. Allah knows who you are. Allah knows what's in your heart. Long as with Allah everything is fine, then alhamdulillah. Only if you need to clarify or clear your name, go and do it. Otherwise, you know what? Leave it.
Mm-hmm. Rizbai and Maulana Ibrahim, you know, we face conflict in almost every situation of our lives. Conflict is not necessarily something bad. It can be good as well, and there can be good that comes out of conflict when it is a difference of opinion, but it depends on how we control or how we manage that difference of opinion, how we manage that conflict. And that is where the problem always comes in, that management of the conflict and our response to that conflict. And this is actually what we should be advising on, that responding to the conflict negatively is going to create rift, it's going to create division, it's going to create further animosity. Responding to it positively can create unity and can take something better out of it.
Yes, Maulana, what you're saying is so right. You know, in life, my own personal philosophy is, you know what, it's best sometimes to ignore it completely. Leave it, you know, leave it. It's fine, you know, it's fine. There is no need for agitation and aggression. But if you think sometimes, you know what, with love and affection and with hikmah, you want to clarify something, do that. Now, it doesn't mean you've got to raise your voice and start pamphleteering and whatnot, you know. That's not the way, my brothers and my sisters. And I know personally, that, you know, in this world, you cannot be loved by everyone. If you are loved by everyone, then to me, there's something hypocritical about you. That means you're not true to what you are saying, or else you are lacking integrity. Because not everyone can love you. And those that do not love you, not all will tell you that to your face. There are those who will whisper, and, you know, in their little groups, they say, hey, you know, you heard about Maulana, you know. I mean, this is how some people operate, you know.
Yes, you can interact with us on the program. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. It is by always encourages the listeners to share their thoughts with us, share some of the advices, or just be part of the topic. Or you can even WhatsApp us. The number is 072-786-1548. It is by when it comes to conflict and why these things then become a huge problem and it becomes out of hand, is one of the first rules that we find very difficult to comply by is to listen first and then talk. We always want to be the first one talking and then listen to the reasons afterwards.
Yes, you're right. You know, I think listening is one of the most critical, faculties Allah has given us. To listen with our heart, you know, and not to have a knee-jerk reaction. And once you listen, and it's important, you know, sometimes, for example, some people may have a perception about you. Their perception is their reality. They perceive you. And I think it's important, you know, to change the perception. You must not encourage it in a negative way. So you must try to change the perception through perhaps changing some aspects of your behavior if you are constantly being misunderstood. So I think it's important. But the point that you make is pertinent. Of course, we must learn to listen.
Mm-hmm. It's 25 past 11. Listeners are welcome to call in and SMS on Maulana Ibrahim Daya will give us the number. You can call in on 011-854-1548 and join in the conversation. We are speaking about conflict, the types of conflict, and we are speaking about dealing with conflict, how to take something positive out of conflict. It is where you may have been dealing with some specific cases, and I think almost all of your cases will involve a certain degree of conflict. How do you get people to come onto agreeable terms?
You know, one of the things is this, one of the terrible signs of a conflict is when there's anger, when there is, you don't want to listen, you don't want to forgive. You know, I try to bring people onto even keel. I try to make a person understand, if that other person did something, you know, he's made a mistake and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, he has sought Allah's forgiveness, he's remorseful. And you need to understand that he made a mistake, you know. There's nothing malicious that he intended. Or what I try to do basically is this. I tell people that, you know, funny enough, when there is some kind of conflict, it is that particular conflict has all the seeds of taking that relationship to a much higher level, you know, to a level of reciprocal understanding, a greater fondness and affection for each other. So from case to case, it is different. And you find that, you know, alhamdulillah, a lot depends on a person's personality, his upbringing, his own experiences, and so on and so forth, you know, and what's his attitude. Is he an optimistic person? Is he pessimistic? Is he unforgiving? Has he gone through some traumatic experience, or does he want to score points? So each one is different. But there is no greater joy, really, and I say it, there is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than to bring people together who, you know, have gone through some kind of conflict, and who not only decide to forgive each other, but decide to resolve the issues and make a commitment, inshallah, that they will never, ever repeat the wrong or, you know, ever hurt the other. And that is, you know, the joy is, you know, you feel euphoric, you know, and it's something so wonderful. Because the reason, and that's very important, if there is a conflict, you've got to resolve it. If it especially deals with people that you know and your family members, because in the end, it saddens me that sometimes a spouse, a mother dies or father dies, but these two people have not spoken to each other for a long time, you know? And this is what saddens me, that then they have regrets.
Yes, it is. By may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. There are many rewards that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned about a person who will reconcile between two Muslim brothers or between families and such. It is why we speak about this, and we think that when a conflict arises, as you mentioned at the start there, that we shouldn't deal with it when we are angry. This could lead to bigger problems. But at the other end of it, we shouldn't be left for too long where it goes on for, where we don't speak and we don't deal with that problem and prolong it. It becomes difficult after that to get back on to speak in terms and to resolve that issue.
Yes, I mean, there are two things here, right? The one is, let's look at it individually. When it comes to family conflict, family situations, sometimes it could be extended family, sometimes siblings, sometimes husband and wife. You've got to have some agreement about how you like to resolve this conflict. It's very, very important. And there has to be an acceptance on the methodology, right? Then it might be another conflict that is reeling its ugly face in the public arena, and it's very important that, you know, we do not start whispering about it, going on a public, you know, a campaign and character assassination. And this is what something that we've got to be very guarded. In fact, you know, it worries me that sometimes, you know, some of us have that reputation of doing that, and I think it's important. Because in the end, Allah is the judge. So the one is the internal family, the other is a public one, the public spat, and the other is the situation in the workplace. And the whole idea is, you know, to get some kind of resolution, some kind of togetherness, some kind of... Sometimes resolving the conflict might really mean that, you know what, maybe in the workplace it might just mean that notwithstanding your best efforts, if you're working for someone and the employer's best efforts, perhaps, you know, the environment is not the right place for you, then, you know, you leave that environment amicably. And this is important, because if otherwise there's a lot of, you know, acrimony and bitterness. So I think that's a critical area that we need to look at. In other words, look at the best solution at that time and let it not get out of control, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's 29 minutes to 12. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. And we are speaking about conflicts. We are speaking about dealing with the different conflicts and taking from the wealth of experience shared with us by Idris Khamisa. Idris, let's take a little bit of a break now, inshallah, Aziz, and we'll be back just after that.
Inshallah.
Trends, Tap and Tile, or Mondi invites you to our newly upgraded and refurbished showroom at 262 Crownwood Road, or Mondi. Come view a wide range of exclusive polished, glazed, and full-bodied porcelain tiles in the latest designs and styles from around the world. We stock big brand names in taps and sanitary ware such as Grow, Geberit, and well-known imported and local products. For all the latest trends, coupled with the best prices and personal service, call Trend Tap and Tile, 835-0273-44.
It's time to get more for your money by getting all your essentials for less this week at Pick n Pay. Simba potato chips assorted, 125 gram, buy any three for 26 rand. Twin Savers, one ply toilet tissue, tens, 35 rand 90. Omo Auto washing powder, 2 kgs, or liquid 1.5 litres each, 42 rand 90. Flora fat spread, assorted tubs, 1 kg, 38 rand 90. P&P fresh milk assorted sachets, 1 litre, buy any 2 for 16 rand 90. Get more for less this week, only at Pick n Pay. Prices valid from 10th of March to 13 March.
أنتم تستمعون إلى إذاعة الإسلام.
صلى ربنا في كل حين وسلم بالغدو وبالأصيل على طه البشير.
Radio Islam, Islam World is our community.
الرسل والهدي الدليل.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam, and welcome back to our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa. Idris, by speaking about conflicts, you have conflicts and then you have difficult types of people also that you need to deal with, and that also then raises the possibility of conflict. Now, you may have dealt with difficult people at your schools that you worked at and at your different causes, etc., that you have done. What difficult types of people do you find?
You know, one of the things is that I think before I respond to that, the point that I also want to make is that, you know, none of us is perfect or angelic. Sometimes we, you know, expose other people for a weakness that they might have. Yet, you know, your weakness has been hidden. Allah knows that weakness. So I think one has to be very, very guarded at the way you deal with people. You know, in the end, it's about intentionality. Do you want to expose someone? Do you want to help someone? What is your attitude? You know, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best teacher, right? So anyway, coming back to your question, the idea about the challenges. You, for example, might get an individual. You might get an individual who, for example, he's rude, he's aggressive, and, you know, he threatens to walk out because not having his way, and he's perhaps used to talking to his wife in a shabby way. And I've dealt with these cases. You know, in fact, I told one man once, I said to him, listen, brother, this is how you talk to your wife, and I'm not going to allow you to do that, please. Not in my presence anyway. Right? I want you to go home, and I can only deal with you tomorrow, because in the way you are so angry, I don't think it will help to resolve the situation. You get that kind of thing, you know. And I know, Maulana, and I know one thing, and I say it with love, and I love everyone. I love my enemies also. And I tell you one thing. I tell you, it's this day and age, there are a lot of challenges for a lot of people. People go through economic challenges, personal challenges, and it's not easy. You know, the kind of conflict, the uneasiness and concerns they have, a whole range of things. May Allah make it easy. And what we need, we don't need someone that is sitting in judgment of you. What we need is people who guide you, right? And guide you with leniency, with understanding, with hikmah. And this is fundamental. So in a situation, you spoke about, the one is the man or the woman who is angry, upset and vulgar. The other one who thinks, you know what, I've done nothing wrong. I'm correct. There's no need for me to seek any kind of resolution. It's my way or the highway. And that kind of attitude, that's another challenge. And the third kind of person is this, that, lives in the past, would only speak, they say, my wife was historical. It's what do you mean? He said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. So what do you mean? No, she would talk about 1942, 43, 45, up to 19, whatever. So the person that clings to the past, So you get all kinds of individuals. This is part of the fabric. This is how Allah has made us. But we need to recognize that, that we have to, deal with the situation as best as we can,
Yes, it is by a very good point mentioned in the beginning that we all are not perfect. And when it comes to dealing with a conflict or when the problem arises, and we normally, at the very beginning, we start having evil thoughts about the person that, okay, he's not doing his work because he's lazy, or he's not responding to me because he doesn't want to. But it's very important that we don't have this mentality, and rather look for the good in people and find out excuses for those people.
Yeah, absolutely. We must begin with that. We must begin with the positive. We must begin with the idea of seeing how best, inshallah, we can deal with these situations, Otherwise, what's going to happen? If you are going to just be, negative and trying to harp on the wrong a person has done, that person will become entrenched in the attitude, And it will become entrenched. And it reminds the story from Imam Bukhari of that person who murdered 100 people, yet Allah forgave him, right? Yes. Now, the whole idea is that, it's true that we cannot condone wrongs. It's true that we need to enjoin that which is good and forbid that which is, enjoin that which is good and forbid that which is wrong. It's all true. We all agree with that. But there is a methodology. And Allah sent us the most beloved creation to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the different types of people that you have to deal with and have to address on a daily basis, first you have your own family members, and within your family members there will be people, there will be individuals who are easy to deal with, those who are difficult to deal with. And it is where I think it boils down mainly to the approach and attitude that you take in dealing with people, and how you speak to them, the tone of your voice, the type of words and vocabulary that you use, the language that you use. And that very often can change a hostile situation into a positive situation. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, ادفع بال ادعو الى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. And Allah Ta'ala says that you invite towards the way of your Rabb with hikmah, with wisdom, and maw'idhatil hasana, with beautiful speech, with something that has beauty and it has sweetness in it. Then, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْهِنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلْيُّنْ حَمِيمٌ. That the hostility that you find between yourselves will become a bosom friendship. And that is just because of the tone of your voice and about the wisdom and tact that you use in speaking.
No, alhamdulillah. That's from the Quran. It's so beautiful. And like this, the thing is, let us say you get up to give a talk. And let us say you spend your whole speech shouting, screaming at them, screaming at the musallis. You're not going to win the hearts. I'm not saying you compromise on the truth. But you've got to win the hearts. You've got to give them self-belief. You've got to introduce them to a merciful Allah, to turn to Him, because you have an Allah that is Ghafur Rahim. He'll forgive you, So I think this is fundamental, that we need to do that, inshallah. And once you start doing that, and you'll win. And the point is, situation of conflict, disagreements, are part of what life is all about, And that's part of who we are, and we need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is by when we continue with this topic, and conflict is something that we can't avoid. And when we're dealing sometimes with, as we mentioned, sometimes it's difficult to some people are just difficult, and it's better to choose our conflicts, I would say, than there's some people that we just need to let it slip by, don't confront them, because we know it's not going to be productive, because it's just going to become into a big argument. So just letting, choosing our conflicts, basically.
Yeah, you know, Mona, you see, this is part of what life is all about. You see, if you look at the underlying reason for conflict, is sometimes you grow up in a place where you're given everything, there is no, people succumb to you. Because one of the things that we need to teach our children is to negotiate, to understand that there are different kinds of individuals, and you're able to adapt to them in different ways, you know. I think that is quite fundamental. Because, you know, and therefore, I would encourage these five things, really, for every home, if I could. Number one, you should teach our children that they're all kinds of individuals. Teach them to negotiate. Teach them throughout that even if they disagree, they must always, always show respect to the other. Enhance the self-esteem of the children, because what happens, if you've got low self-esteem, you manifest your behavior in anger. Last but not least, I think what is critical, you must create ummatic consciousness, so they begin to love not only the ummah, also humanity. In that way, you find there are some individuals, no matter who they deal with them differently. Now, that's the whole issue about, that's why I encourage schools to develop EQ in children. Why? So they would know that in every context, every social context, you're dealing with a different personality, and you cannot deal with the same way. The way you speak, your register, your tenor, your tone, everything must be according to a particular situation. And if we can do this, inshallah, you'll find that people would be keen on resolving issues. Keen, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. Now, by coming to the types of conflict that we face, you have conflict of leadership. That is one of the main types of conflict that affects our entire country, that affects our organizations, that affects the Muslim Ummah as well. Conflicts in leadership, in the type of leadership. If you look in South Africa as Muslims, we don't have one leadership. We have different organizations in the country. We have one government, one president, but people are unhappy with that leadership. Now, we want whatever we are doing, whether it is our radio station, whether it is our organization, whether it is our simple Jamaat, we want to have a strong organization, but it depends on strong leadership as well, and it depends on being able to bridge that gap of conflict in leadership. How do we do that?
You know, you make a very, alhamdulillah, very valid point. Now, you find that in South Africa and many parts of the world, we are working in silos, you know. We are working, and every organization has its own leadership. But we do not have what you call a collective leadership or one kind of amid. And as a result, what happens? What saddens me is sometimes you get, individuals who say something, but those who follow them are far more fanatical than that particular individual. And this creates a lot of bitterness. And they would say, no, I don't agree with him because he said so. It's almost as if, God is, Allah has spoken to you. And I think we've got to be very, very guarded, you know. Because therefore, the unity in this country also is of very, very grave concern. We are in different pockets over there. Each one has got our own kind of fiefdom. And it's not right, you know. And we need to be embracing. We need to share our resources. We need to show concern of people outside your own way of thinking. I'm not talking about in terms of having tendencies that are antithetical to Islam. We need to be far more embracing for that. And therefore, when children grow up in an environment, in institutions or in a country, when they see people whom they ought to respect, also have their own issues, you know, their personality clashes, it really affects them, it really affects their attitude towards individuals and sadly towards Islam. They say, if this is our leadership, I mean, you know, what do they expect? So I think we need, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a matter of very, very grave concern. And therefore, I think it's important as parents, the primary educators, to do whatever they can. May Allah make it easy for them. It's a real challenge in nurturing children today, because parenting is the jihad of the 21st century. You know?
Yes, it is. But we live in a country that we say is the rainbow nation, and we have different societies, different people, and it can be difficult to maybe understand that, but sometimes we don't even give them the chance. We can learn so much from one another, and we can live all in harmony. That is nothing. That is actually what Islam teaches us, to respect the next person, and this can be a means of avoiding so much of problems and so much of conflict as well.
No, you're right. You know, this is the point. The point is that, you know, in life, the moment you think you've got the monopoly of knowledge, then you can't learn from other people. Really. You cannot. You've got to open your heart. And, you know, and therefore I say to people, you know, you need to have what I call an eclectic approach. You need to learn from as many people as possible. Do not sort of confine yourself to a particular individual or groups of people. And therefore I find one of the best education is traveling. You come out from a theoretical vortex, as it were. You travel other parts of the world. You're meeting other people. And you are very enthused, you know, by the passion for the deen, the knowledge of the deen, and really makes you a stronger person. And therefore, you know, we need to do that. We need to encourage people to read, to understand the seerah, to understand the Quran, to listen to other people, to give people respect. One of the best things you can give anyone is to give dignity to someone else. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also reminded us to do good to those who harm you. Can you? How beautiful is that?
That is the best way of dealing with conflict, and the best way of overcoming, when you are willing to give up what you have for the sake of maintaining that brotherhood, and for the sake of maintaining that relationship. Where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised a house in the best part of Jannah for a person who leaves out argument and leaves out debate, even though they are correct, even though they are right. So this would definitely bring about a sense of unity, and cover up, or it would close that rift and the division that we have between ourselves.
You know, it's so beautiful. I mean, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so beautiful in every aspect of his life, divinely inspired, and we need to take lessons from this. You know, we all have egos. Some of us are megalomaniacs, and what we need to do is to humble ourselves and always say, in the end, that's why we are judged, you know, by our intention, our intentionality, why we say what we say and what we do. Is it to score points? Is it about your ego, to massage your ego? And so Allah protect us and forgive us, you know, and none of us is perfect. But the issue of conflict, to me, is a very grave issue, and it's sad that our homes have become a site of contestation and struggle. Our institutions are no different, you know, and you find throughout, you know, there is a kind of sadness. There are those who either, you know, vehemently despise you, and there are those who love you. And you find that those that love you, and they love you perhaps for good reasons, and those who despise you, their hatred or animosity towards you is based on speculation rather than knowledge of you. And I'll give you one very good example, an example that I might have shared. I remember, you know, there was a particular individual, and she, you know, had issues in a particular institution, and I was part of that institution, and then suddenly, without notice, she went into a coma or unconscious, you know. And so I spoke to one of the people involved. I said to the person, you know what, that woman that you had a difference with, you know, why don't you, lift that court order, you know. She's dying. You know, she's dying. And, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah knows best. She passed away. But you know what? When we got to know her even better, I was surprised to learn that I think once a week she used to cook food and feed with her husband all the street children in that particular city. And that really, and I said, you know what? If we were to judge a person by an act, by one act alone, and we would condemn people by just one act. You know, of course, I'm not minimizing the act. I'm not minimizing, you know, the situation, you know. So I think it's important that we understand that, you know.
Yes, what? Sorry. Go ahead, Malana.
Yes, Elisba, you mentioned that, and I think it would be about appreciating people, that when people are alive, we sort of take it for granted. We'll have these conflicts with them, we'll stop talking to them, and then they are not there. That's when we sort of realize. And so it's just about while, you know, to have that humility, be humble, and sometimes you got to take that knock for the better good.
Absolutely. And that, how beautiful is it? Allah will say, this banda of mine hid the faults of people. He hid the faults of people. And Allah say, why should I not hide his faults also? You know, and so I think it's important. I think the long and short of it all is about personal reformation. It's about tazkiyah. It's about us doing the right things. It's about us, you know, helping the other person to grow. And I always tell teachers, you know, the real challenge in school is not so much helping the kid can pass without you. It's helping the child that has issues, a child that lacks motivation, helping him to pass, helping him to have a positive attitude. That's your challenge. And are you prepared to invest in that? So it's an important thing. You know, it's easy to sit, you know, in judgment, but it's far more difficult to help a person, take him by the hand, and show him the way, you know.
Rizbai, we thank you for your time. Jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, we will speak next week.
Right. Inshallah, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum to my respected Maulana. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Idris Khamisa for joining us this morning. And shukran to Mullah Ibrahim Daya, my co-host, and to our studio operator, Brother Tufail, for coordinating the entire program. From Junaid Jasad and Mullah Ibrahim Daya, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.